For a few moments this evening, I'd like to share with you a little bit about the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. In a day when the blood of Christ is much maligned, simply dismissed, or as something unimportant or disgusting or unnecessary, it's necessary for us as believers in Christ to assure our hearts and minds by knowing what God's Word says about the blood. I know this will be a reminder for us who are here tonight. A well-known pastor in California says that the blood is just an euphemism for death. That's all it means. But that the blood should not be held too literally, he said, as the red stuff in your veins, by anyone as efficacious to our salvation, including the Lord Jesus. Blood just means death, he says. Well, we would differ with him on that, take exception to it. And I think the scriptures would otherwise say otherwise than this preacher does about the blood. How important is the blood to our salvation? It's important in the extreme, as we would understand from the Word of God. So let's take a look for a few moments this evening at the blood of Christ and the importance of it for our salvation. The term blood occurs 447 times in our Bibles, both in the Old Testament, 346 times, and in the New Testament, 101 times. The blood that is mentioned is the blood of both men and animals, as you read through the Scriptures. In the foundational statement in Scripture concerning blood, we read this, in Leviticus 17, verses 10 through 14. If you want to turn there, that would be great. Leviticus 17, beginning in verse 10. Down to verse 14. So verse 10 says, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. And therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." And being cut off is a very serious thing in the scriptures. Cut off from the life of the nation, cut off from the relationship with God, it's a very serious matter. So the life of the flesh is the blood, and God had commanded mankind not to eat the blood. Any animal had to have its blood drained before they could roast it or however they wanted to prepare it to eat it. So we see blood in the Old Testament is supremely important. The Lord said in Genesis 9 and verse 6, this is after the flood abated and Noah came out from the ark. God said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." We call that capital punishment, right? which we don't do anymore in Canada, or in, I think, some places in the States they will still execute a criminal for whatever they've done. But This is the word of the Lord, that whosoever sheds man's blood, a murderer, by man shall his blood be shed. And that is usually the task of the government or the rulers, the leaders, to take care of that. And the reason for that drastic situation is that man was made in the image of God. So if someone kills another person, he's basically destroying an image of God. And God does not take kindly to that and says that the one who murders should have his life also taken from him. So under the law of Moses, the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and doves were shed in sacrifice for the sins of the worshiper. The priests would take the offering from the man or woman and sacrifice it on the altar, taking great care to observe God's statutes concerning the blood. And the blood in the Old Testament provided atonement for the one bringing the offering, but it also must be kept in mind that it was not simply the shed blood of an animal per se that provided atonement. Rather, it was also the faith of the offerer in bringing his offering that was paramount. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." The blood of bulls and goats brought by a worshiper to the priests, that blood would provide an atonement, and the word atonement means a covering. So the blood of bulls and goats would cover the sin, but it wouldn't take it away. There is only one whose blood can take away our sin. John 1:35. John the Baptist, looking at the Lord Jesus, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Only the Lord Jesus did. And all of the blood that was shed in the Old Testament in sacrifices was simply a picture of what the Lord Jesus would do in reality. So God, in his marvelous grace, sent his Son into this world to be the Savior of all men. That's 1 John 4:14. Which says, "Now we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And the Gospel states that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We read that first. And yes, he did die for us, but the manner of his death was that of shedding of his blood. Christ could have died in any number of ways, right? could have been hanged. He could have suffocated. He could have been strangled or drowned. Could have been burnt up in a fire. any number of other ways that would not have shed any blood. But Christ was crucified, a most barbarous form of torture and death. And when Christ was nailed to that old wooden cross, he had already been whipped and scourged, and a crown of thorns put upon his head, which thorns would have pierced his scalp and his forehead and drawn blood as well. And when Jesus was put on the cross, he was a bloody mess. And then the nails in his hands and in his feet also would draw blood. After he had given up the ghost, a spear pierced into his heart, and again blood and water came out. So, yes, Christ did die on the cross for you and me, but his death was necessarily a bloodshed death. Hebrews 9:22 in part says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no remission That remission obviously means no remission of sins. The Greek word is aphesis, which means forgiveness or pardon. And one of my favorite lexicon writers, Thayer, says, "The forgiveness of sins is what this word means. That is, the letting them go as if they had never been committed. Remission of the penalty." So we often define or talk about the word justification to mean just as if I had not sinned, right? You've heard that before, just as if I had not sinned. Where the term justification means that we have been declared righteous before God. And our sins have been taken away, and there is nothing that can be held against us anymore. That forgiveness is the letting of our sins go as if they had never been committed in the first place. That's marvelous, isn't it, when you think about it? How amazing is God's grace to provide that for us through the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the shedding of Christ's blood, there is a remission or a forgiveness of sins. And that is, forgiveness is available. To avail of the provision that Christ has made, a man or a woman must by grace, must come by grace through faith in Christ and receive that gift of salvation. And I trust that you might be able to think back to that time when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and so had your sins forgiven. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 7. He writes, "In whom," that's Christ, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So here's a few other scriptures that we'll just take note of, and if you're writing them down, you can spend a little bit more time musing on them, perhaps, a little bit later. First of all, in the mouth of Judas, after he betrayed the Lord Jesus and sought to return the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and to the elders, Judas said to them, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And so he referred to the Lord Jesus as innocent blood. Unfortunately for Judas, he didn't respond very well to all of that, went out and hanged himself on a tree. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verse 28, says this, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." Interesting. We as believers, the church of God, have been purchased with his own blood. Romans 5 verse 9 says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So we are justified by his blood. In Colossians 1:20, we read, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven," peace through the blood of his cross. In 1 Peter 1:18 to 19, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Redeemed with, and Peter calls it, the precious blood of Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And then Revelation 1 verse 5, we read this, that the revelation has been given to John from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. So I think that you can see the importance of the blood of the Lord Jesus. There are other verses, other passages that you can look up for yourself. And these scriptures that we've looked at tonight, I think, is enough for us to see the importance of the blood of Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are justified by the blood of Christ. We are cleansed by the blood of Christ. We have peace with God through the blood of Christ. We have access to the heavenly throne room by the blood of Christ. And we are purchased by the blood of Christ. Where would we ever be if Christ had not come and shed his blood to provide salvation for our souls? Where would we ever be? I think we would still be lost in our sins because his blood would not cleanse us. This also, the importance of the blood is also a significant reason for why Jesus Christ came into this world. He's God the Son, and he was made flesh and dwelt among us so that he could have a body, a human body of flesh and bone, which would have blood in it that then he could have shed for the remission of our sins. If he came in just as an angel of the Lord, as he often did in the Old Testament, probably didn't have that body of flesh and blood. And so he came through the incarnation into this world to have a body by which he could bear our sins upon the tree, but also have blood that he could shed on our behalf to achieve all of those things that we've looked at in some of those references. Praise the Lord. The truth of the gospel broke through the blindness of our minds, and we believed God and trusted Christ by faith, and we immediately knew the blessings of sins forgiven and washed away in the blood of Christ. So let us not lose this sense of importance of Christ's blood. In fact, the Lord Jesus has given us this ordinance of the Lord's table to remember him and his death, particularly on the cross. Concerning the communion cup, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And the Apostle Paul repeated this, saying in 1 Corinthians 11:25, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" We acknowledge, don't we, the supreme importance of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for the remission of our sins, really for the sins of all men, if they would but believe what God has said and receive Christ as their Savior, then that shed blood would also make a difference in their lives as well.